Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Let's turn to Psalm 22. I'd like to read just some verses from that psalm. The Psalm 22, you will find the opening words of the psalm very familiar. Made exceedingly familiar by the fact that they are the words spoken by the Lord Jesus on the cross. But the words were first written by David, and they were an expression of how he was feeling at the time he wrote the psalm. Verse 1 then of Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered, they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him." And we'll end the reading there. Though had you read on down, you would have found other words that were linked to our Savior. And of course, we read this psalm because today we turn our thoughts to David as a likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we were just looking over the last few weeks at David, but if I might just stress the slight difference in what we were looking at over the last few weeks and what we're going to be looking at. We were considering David as a picture, a prophetic picture of the Lord Jesus in his coming again, in his reign, and in his glorious power at the end of this age. We're going to be looking at David as a picture of the Lord Jesus throughout his life. David is one of the great types. Now, you know what I mean by the word types. We would use the word picture. He's one of the great pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just draw a number of parallels. I think it might be right for me to say that I could probably find hundreds of parallels between David and the Lord Jesus. Some of the great men of God have written huge volumes on the life of David, pointing out how he was in many ways like the Lord Jesus. But I'm only going to draw some very obvious parallels so that you might see that there are indeed likenesses. And I hope that as you read through the Bible and come to the stories of David, you will look for those likenesses. And before we go any further, let me say to you all, there ought to be likenesses to the Lord Jesus in your life. In your life. It's a wonderful, mysterious truth that though men have mingled on the face of the earth now for centuries, you can still see certain physical distinctions that marks one race from another. Even the races within Europe, all living, as it were, shoulder to shoulder, yet they retain certain distinctions. The Frenchman, the Italian, the Greek, the German, the Romanian, the Bulgarian. There are certain physical distinctions still remaining among those races that distinguishes one from another. Yes, they've intermarried. But even that having happened over centuries, still there is that physical distinction, the Italian, the French, the German, etc., etc. Now, there ought to be in this world certain distinctions, certain marks, that indicates whether or not a person belongs to the family of God. They ought to have certain likenesses to the Lord Jesus, their elder brother. And every one of you that says you're saved, there ought to be in your life likenesses. We're going to be looking at David. And David really did have a lot of likeness to Christ. Well, there ought to be, at the very least, some likeness to the Savior in our lives. So that as we're doing this study, think about yourself and ask yourself the question, do I bear a likeness to the Lord Jesus? Let's start off very simply with the lineage of David. Now you know what I mean by lineage. The ancestry of David. You see, there was this link between the Savior and David. Look at the very first verse of the New Testament. I thought this significant when I looked up this reference, that the New Testament should begin, should be introduced with such a statement as this: the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The first relative, humanly speaking, of the Lord Jesus that's mentioned here is David. He was the son of David. He could trace his human ancestry back to David. And when I talk about the lineage of David, I'm talking about that. There was this physical family link between David and the Lord Jesus Christ. They came of the same family. They descended of the same family group. Look at the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And this really is a beginning as well, because this is the beginning of the Christian era to a large degree. The disciples, the apostles, are about to go out into the world and preach the gospel, speaking unto the Gentile nation. And in the first sermon preached on the day of Pentecost, preached by the power of the Holy Ghost, in chapter 2 of Acts and the verse 29, Peter is speaking here, it's his words that are recorded. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. The very first sermon, a sermon preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wished to underline, underscore, emphasize a link between David and the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had, humanly speaking, descended. His human nature had come down from David. Down from David. That's ever important for us to remember. He is the son of David. I've often thought, you know, that no greater honor could ever have been bestowed upon a man than that which was bestowed upon David. That the Lord Jesus Christ should take his name. Should take his name. You remember blind Bartimaeus, when he heard from the people that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. You remember how he cried out? He didn't say Jesus of Nazareth, but he said, Thou son of David. Thou son of David. Oh, what a privilege was bestowed on David that he should be one of the forerunners, physically speaking, of our Savior. I want to give you another first. This is the first epistle of the New Testament. That is the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And the very first verse we're looking at, Paul's writing to believers in the city of Rome. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, brackets, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is not just something that came into existence in the days of the New Testament. gospel had been revealed long before. Elements of it, foretastes of it, the prophets had proclaimed. Verse 3, and here's what the gospel is all about, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now remember, of course, the Lord Jesus was not just man, but he was God. God and man. Deity, divine nature, united with perfect human nature into the person of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul here says that he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. His human nature was linked to David. And right over in the last book of the Bible, we find this same truth set forth in Revelation, the chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And here in the chapter 5, John has been permitted to enter heaven in the Spirit. You see that in the verse 2 of chapter 4, for you older ones. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So he's permitted to enter heaven. And what does he see there? Well, chapter 5 is where I want to turn you to. Chapter 5, verse 5. One of the elders which said unto me, weep not. John was weeping, you see, because no man was found worthy to open the book which was sealed. That book, I have to stop and explain that to you. That book that you read about in chapter 5 is a legal document. It's a legal document. It's a legal document that embodies the will and purpose of God in this earth, centering primarily upon Israel. It's God's will and testimony. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the fact that most people, when they come to die, prepare a will. They may have a house, they may have a farm, they may have money, they may have various things. And they want to let people know, after they die, how that is to be divided up. So they write out their will. Well, this book is really the will of God. It's not that God's going to die, but he has, as it were, put on record what his purpose is, what he's going to accomplish. And it was sealed. And only someone with the right authority could open it. If you have a relative, and you know they have written a will, and you go to the solicitor and say, I'd like to know what my granda or my dad or my uncle has said in his will, the solicitor will chase you and say you have no right to know until it is opened and read by the one appointed by your relative. And John sees the will, the book, and it's sealed. And there was no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, able to open the book. Verse 3 of chapter 5. Nobody had the authority among men. And John is weeping, because we'll never know what God's purpose is unless this book is opened. And by its opening, the purpose of God will then be brought into being. It will be executed. And one of the elders says in verse 5, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Listen, boys and girls. The purpose that God has from all eternity for this earth, for his people, and for the nation of Israel will come into being, because there's one who has authority to break the seals and to open the book and cause God's plans to be executed. And the one who is able to do that, the one who has the authority to do that, Jesus, the Root of David. He has come from David. And so there's this emphasizing of the link, the physical link between David and the Lord Jesus. Well, I haven't got just as far as I thought I might get. I said I had a number of likenesses. I've given you one. Let me just give you one more. And this one you know. They were both born in the same place. Where was that? Yes, Beth. Bethlehem. Both born in the same place. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. David was the son of Jesse, and Jesse came from Bethlehem. And it was in that very same Bethlehem that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary. Look at the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 2, and here you will remember these words. Luke chapter 2, verse 4, And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The city in which David was born afterwards was named after him. It became known as the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. This is the amazing thing. Both Joseph and Mary belonged to the tribe of Judah, and they belonged to the family of David. Poor Joseph was in truth a prince. Was he thought of as such? No. He was of the royal household. He was a prince, though not recognized as such. And Mary was a princess. They were both of the royal family. And of course, of Mary, the Lord Jesus was born. And the human nature that he had was from Mary, who was of the house of David. And by the providence of God, by an order made away, away, away far in Rome, Caesar demanded that there be a taxing. In truth, it wasn't a collecting of money. You wouldn't have to move your house in order to collect money. It was a census. It was the compiling of a record of everybody that was in the nation. And to do that, everybody had to go to their home territory and thereby be able to verify from the records kept in those cities that you belonged to this area. And so Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem, which was the seat, the center of their family roots. And although Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth, and if Caesar hadn't been moved by God to make that decree, the Lord Jesus would have been born in Nazareth. And that would have immediately said he wasn't the Saviour, because the Saviour was to be born in Bethlehem. And so Joseph, and I'm pretty sure he didn't realise the significance of it. He probably thought it was an awful inconvenience, this old character away in Rome telling us all that we have to go to our home territory and their register. What an upheaval, what an annoyance. But it was the working out of God's wonderful purpose. Listen to me, boys and girls. There'll be many times in your life that things will turn out that you will think of as an annoyance. But it is the outworking of God's purpose. How often the apostles went to jail. Now, that was pretty annoying. But it was the outworking of God's purpose. And always remember that. When annoying, troubling trials come upon you, let this comfort you. Let this help you through it by thinking God could be working out his purpose in this trouble and advancing his cause. He certainly was when Joseph and Mary had to move to Bethlehem. And just as Mary arrived in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus was born. Not on the road to Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem. Oh, boys and girls, God's timing is always perfect. Perfect. Well, we'll continue this on Thursday in the will of the Lord. Look further at the likeness between David and his great son, the Lord Jesus. Let's bow and pray. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father, teach us these truths. Help us to understand the way God works. so that we might better react to the workings of God in our lives and be submissive to his will. Bless the boys and the girls. May they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the school today. Bless the school today. Undertake for every one of its needs and for every one of its pupils and teachers, and the parents at home as well. Hear us now, Lord, we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen and amen.